Thank you, Mr. Coordinator. Let me begin by congratulating you on your appointment as the coordinator of this subsidiary body. I assure you of my delegation's full support. We also associate ourselves with the statement that will be delivered on the behalf of G21. Mr. Coordinator, the subject of negative security assurances has been on the international agenda for almost 6 decades. After nuclear disarmament, this is the oldest issue on the disarmament landscape. The roots of this item go back to 1966, UN General Assembly Resolution 2153A, which called upon the 18-nation Committee on Disarmament to consider urgently the proposal that nuclear weapons powers should give an assurances that they will not use or threaten to use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear weapon states without nuclear weapons on their territories. The salience of this item was also reaffirmed in the consensus of SSOD1 final document, as you have also outlined in your opening remarks. NSAs has been an integral part of CD's agenda from its very first session in 1979 as one of the three original nuclear issues, the other two being nuclear disarmament and the nuclear test ban. It is unfortunate that progress on this issue has remained elusive. Mr. Coordinator, Pakistan has a long history of support for NSAs. From the late 1960s onwards, then as a non-nuclear weapon state, Pakistan had sought legally binding assurances to safeguard its security from the use or threat of use of nuclear weapons. These efforts assumed greater urgency after nuclear weapons were inducted in South Asia in 1974. In 1979, Pakistan tabled a draft international convention to assure non-nuclear weapon states against the use or threat of use of nuclear weapons at the CD, contained in CD 10. Unfortunately, the failure of the international community to provide credible, effective, and legal assurances against the threat or use of nuclear weapons obliged Pakistan to develop a nuclear deterrent of its own. Notwithstanding this defensive capability, Pakistan remained committed to pursuing a legal instrument on NSAs. This continued commitment to NSAs is demonstrated by our annual tabling of UN General Assembly resolution on this subject since 1990. Last year in March, we submitted a new working paper in this conference contained in CD 2317. As yet another tangible contribution in this area to make progress. Mr. Coordinator, I would like to address here some skepticism that is often expressed on commencement of negotiations on NSAs in the CD. One is that assurances provided through unilateral declarations and Security Council resolutions are sufficient. However, over the years, a number of questions have been raised regarding their sufficiency and efficacy. The evidence suggests that they are arguably insufficient and partial on account of the following. First, many of these unilateral declarations contain qualifiers and caveats to be interpreted at the discretion of states making such declarations. Second, these qualified declarations envisage that the Security Council, and above all, its nuclear weapons state permanent members will act immediately. This proposition remains flawed under any objective examination. How can or will the Security Council act immediately if the perpetrator of such an act is also a veto-wielding member? That will certainly block any joint action by the Council. Third, what good the Security Council's post hoc action be when the country aggressed upon by the use of nuclear weapons has already been devastated? For these reasons, the declaration of nuclear weapon states contained in Security Council resolutions do not and cannot substitute for a multilateral legally binding instrument on NSAs. Mr. Coordinator, the other argument suggests that nuclear weapon-free zones is the only way to extend such assurances. However, such zones in themselves do not substitute for an international legally binding instrument for following reasons. First, the current system of nuclear weapon-free zones remains non-universal, excluding some regions. Non-nuclear weapon states that are outside established zones or belong to regions where the establishment of such zones is extremely problematic due to the existence of nuclear weapons in such regions should not be denied their legitimate right to receive legally binding NSAs. Second, the insertion of qualifiers and caveats again by some nuclear weapon states in the nuclear weapon free zones treaties in some instances undermine the spirit of the very treaties establishing such zones. Mr. Coordinator, during the course of discussions in 2022, the subsidiary body for almost agreed to establish a separate ad hoc committee on NSAs through a recommendation in the draft report to which no CD member state had then objected. We believe NSA continues to be the lowest hanging fruit in the CD, the one issue which is ripe for immediate negotiations. The CD deliberations on this subject have also made it clear that there are no insurmountable legal, technical, or financial obstacles to negotiating and concluding an instrument on NSAs. We have also not heard any security reservations expressed by any CD member state in opposition to NSAs. On the contrary, in the past year, we have heard statements from states expressing willingness to work on this issue, who had earlier been skeptical of any progress on NSAs. We call on those states to not hold NSAs hostage to forward movement on other more complicated issues. Commencing negotiations on an international convention on NSAs would end the decades-long impasse in the CD. We believe now we have the critical mass in support for commencing such negotiations. A legally binding instrument on NSAs will have a vital role in fostering a more peaceful and stable security environment globally and regionally, and in advancing the objectives of nuclear disarmament and nuclear non-proliferation, pending the fulfillment of disarmament obligations on account of following. One, bridging the security gap between nuclear and non-nuclear weapon states. Two, help reduce tensions, avoid costly arms races, and mitigate concerns of non-nuclear weapon states on account of new doctrines related to use of nuclear weapons. Three, make a significant contribution to augmenting the global non-proliferation regime, and its absence has an opposite effect. Four, constitute a major CBM between the nuclear and non-nuclear weapon states, thereby facilitating negotiation on other matters related to disarmament and non-proliferation. Mr. Coordinator, lastly, in terms of structuring our work in SP4 next year, we would like to suggest focusing on possible elements of an international legal instrument on NSAs. Our work can address the following questions. First, by whom should these assurances be given? Second, to whom should these assurances be provided? And lastly, how should these assurances be given? These questions were also raised by the US earlier in the meeting held on NSAs earlier this year, and today also referred by my Chinese colleague in his statement. We have also expressed our views on these questions in our working paper CD2317. We look forward to an in-depth engagement with other CD member states on these questions. We earnestly hope that this conference is able to chart a concrete path on NSAs next year. I thank you.